Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and we are headed into week number 8 of the college football season, and there certainly are some attractive games on hand that we can look forward to, but right now we are going to shift our focus and head straight to New York. We're going to talk to one of our good friends at CBS Sports Network, Brian Jones, and one can only wonder what the state of his mind is after that blowout loss to Oklahoma last weekend in the Red River rivalry. The Sooners do shine. And Brian, I'm so appreciative that you made a point to come on our program, because when I made the request prior to the game, I wasn't sure if you were going to be on the show. So thank you.
Hey, if you don't pray when the sun shines, don't pray when it rains. You've got to keep on putting one foot in front of the other, even though your alma mater embarrassed the hell out of you.
Well, you know, you have had a week to just kind of reflect on this after such a humiliating loss. I mean, and you've analyzed the game tape. Why were the Sooners able to make so many winning plays against Texas?
I don't get it. The Sooners did nothing tricky. They came out and they just hit Texas in the mouth, and Texas didn't respond. It was a poor showing from a tackling standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, from an attitude standpoint. It was just a debacle. But we've seen it all season. They gave up big plays versus Ole Miss. Then they took a bye week, and I thought they may correct their tackling issues and the explosive plays issues. They didn't. They did the same thing versus Okie State, although they pulled out the win. And once again, versus West Virginia, last week versus Oklahoma, big plays killed this defense, a defense that was just outside the top 10 once the season concluded a season ago. Second year in Manny Diaz's system, you'd think they'd be coached up. You'd think they wouldn't be out there thinking. And you'd think they'd know how to tackle, but apparently they don't. But we've seen this movie before. We've had these runs under the Mack Brown regime where the team has become soft, and they're soft again. They're weak. They're timid. They act like they don't want to be out there. It was just horrific watching that. I've been on the wrong end of some lopsided losses. That football team was punked. The coaching staff was punked. It was just ridiculous. It was embarrassing. And there needs to be a change in my estimation, because this hasn't happened before. You know, Bob Stoops has put 60 on Texas 3 times now, 4 of the worst losses in the series. And this is a series that's been going on for over 100 years. 4 of the worst losses have come under Mack Brown. And it's ridiculous that they keep reverting back to this soft label and this soft way of playing football. And how do you not get stoked and fired up to play your arch rival? I just don't get that. How do you not get fired up for that? It's once a year. You think you'd find some type of motivation or way to get motivated for this game. We wanted to play it that Monday of the week of the game, and these guys don't even want to play it the day of the game. It's amazing to me.
Brian Jones is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We watch him each and every week on the CBS Sports Network. Of course, he is their college football analyst and a former linebacker for the Texas Longhorns. And I'm going to get right to it. I mean, Brian, how do you stop the bleeding and how do you regroup? You guys have got Baylor at home, kickoff set for 7 o'clock on Saturday night. I mean, are you talking about that there should be a change at the top?
Yeah, I think there does need to be a change. This keeps happening. It happened early in the Mack Brown tenure. It's happened in the middle. Aside from having two excellent quarterbacks and Vince Young and Colt McCoy, aside from that, this has been a soft football team. And you're not going to always have studs at those positions. You've got to have a philosophy where no matter who is at the helm, a quarterback, we're going to have a physical mindset. We're going to have a tough mindset. And they don't have that, and they haven't had it during different periods of this coaching staff. I shouldn't say this coaching staff, because they're only been there a year and a half, but the one constant is the head coach. And so he sets the philosophy, he sets the agenda, he sets the tone as far as what type of team, what type of attitude your football team's going to have. And they keep falling back into this soft identity. And it's not a one-time deal. If it was a one-time deal, I could understand. But we've seen it in the early 2000s. We've seen it somewhat in the mid-2000s. Now we're seeing it here again in the beginning of this decade. So it starts there. Let's not beat around the bush.
Brian, how much of an impact was losing, you know, your defensive coordinator in Will Muschamp? We know how amped up and that he would get watching him on the sideline. I mean, he was a huge asset, and I'm sure it's difficult to swallow and to watch how well Florida is doing this year.
I mentioned on our show last week, you know, that was our coach in waiting, and look what he's done with half the talent there at Florida in the country's toughest conference. You know, sitting there undefeated right now, got still big games on the horizon, South Carolina this week, and of course, next week, the big one versus Georgia and Florida State at the end of the year. But look what he's done with less talent in the country's toughest conference. And we've got a defensive coordinator that learned the game in the film room. And so I take the Will Muschamp over that. And it looks like his message, our defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, is his message isn't getting across to these guys. So if it's not resonating, there needs to be a change.
Well, there has been some injuries, though. You know, when we look at the Longhorn defense, they have fallen on hard times. The loss of linebacker Jordan Hicks, I mean, that's a big blow.
That's a huge blow. He's a hell of a football player, I give you that. But he's not the whole defense.
I understand.
You can still be tough when you're a man down. You can still play tough. You can still be a physical football team. They're not. They got pushed around. Basic running plays, simple fullback out in the flat. Miller, they made him look like All-American. I mean, come on, tackling. That's part of it. That's what you learned day one in Pop Warner, how to tackle. And then that physical, I don't care who's missing, you still should have an identity. Everyone has to deal with injuries. Everyone deals with that.
Well, you got to give some love, though, and credit to Oklahoma. Come on, Brian. I mean, the preseason polls, they had Oklahoma, in the top five? They did jump out. You had mentioned this right at the top at the show, one of my first questions, that, you know, the Sooners jumped out to that 27-2 lead before Texas even recorded its first down. I mean,
the difference between the programs. You look at Oklahoma back 3 weeks ago versus K-State, they looked in disarray.
That's true.
They go into the bye week. They correct things. They go to my hometown of Lubbock. They stomp the Red Raiders, who were undefeated. Then they roll into the Cotton Bowl and just devastate and destroy Texas. So this is a football team that has gotten better since that loss versus K-State. Texas is a football team that keeps getting worse. And so you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And we're going the wrong direction. There's some who will say, well, if you get this win versus Baylor this week and if you continue to win, you win 9 or 10 games, it's a successful season. Well, if that's what the benchmark is now for the University of Texas, fine. If you're content with that, that's your prerogative. But I grew up and I fell in love with a Texas program who had aspirations of winning the conference, at least the conference championship every year. And so that's my benchmark. At least get that. There are those who will be fine with 10-3 or 9-4. I'm not content with that. And apparently the big wigs at UT, that they're fine with that. As long as we win 9 or 10 ball games, I just think that's bull. Texas wasn't built like that. There are a ton of conference championships over there from Southwest Conference. I helped bring one my 2 years I played there. Mac Brown's been there 15 years, and he's only brought two. So another 15, maybe we'll get two more. Who knows? But look at what Stoops done. What does he have, 7 or 8? Played for 3 or 4
right.
National titles, has one, of course. It's what you'll settle for, and apparently there are some Texas fans that'll settle for 10-3. They'll settle for their arch rival hanging half a hundred on them each and every year. I don't. The season's over in my mind because it's all about beating Oklahoma, as it is in Oklahoma. It's all about beating Texas, and that's what the great Barry Switzer told Mac Brown when he worked for him. It's about beating Texas
here
at OU. At Texas, it's about beating OU. That's it.
Providing some strong opinions is the college football analyst for CBS Sports Network, the great Brian Jones. And so let me ask you, I mean, how good is Oklahoma? Defensively, we have seen, as you're talking about, significant improvement since, you know, K-State and what they were able to accomplish even against Texas Tech. I mean, Mike Stoops, you know, is now on board and they're facing their opponents eye to eye, toe to toe. I mean, is this a team that could compete, you know, for a national championship and face an Alabama or Florida?
Well, they're back in the hunt. I think it's open, and of course LSU and Alabama, they have to play, and that has to shake out. And we'll see what Florida does, sitting there undefeated right now. But definitely, they're a physical football team. They're going to have a big one versus Notre Dame. Notre Dame is just as physical, if not more. And we'll see if they can exploit the one glaring weakness, which is the secondary of Notre Dame. But up front, that front seven, I'll put them up against anyone. They play some physical football. So OU, if they continue to play and progress like they have over the last 2 or 3 weeks, heck yeah, they're in the picture with everyone else. So they're playing well. They're clicking on all cylinders, and they're hitting people in the mouth, especially Texas. And we'll see when they meet up with Notre Dame, when they hit them in the mouth, if Notre Dame hits them back in the mouth. I'm going to suggest to you that Notre Dame will, and it'll be a dogfight. So, yes, they're in that national title picture again, but they just got to keep rolling the way they have the last 2 weeks.
Okay, as we look ahead, though, with Texas and Baylor, David Ash, I mean, what is the latest as far as his status with his wrist? Is he good to go?
I just told you, Big E, the season's over for me. I'm not even watching apparently, from all reports, he is gonna play this week. I just wish he would quit espousing the company talking points over there. You know, talking about people jumping off the bandwagon. No, we're not jumping off the bandwagon. We're gonna always be Longhorn fans. We're gonna always support the program. But we, at the same time, we're gonna voice our opinions on how the program is progressing. And you guys have taken a huge step back. And you know, for a guy who's had one, two good games in a UT uniform, he should just worry about holding on to the rock and trying to help his team win instead of getting out in front of the press and blaming us who are not in that locker room.
Give us a pulse on the Longhorn community, what the fan base. I mean, what kind of things have you been hearing from some of the fans on Twitter and on Facebook, Brian?
For the most part, I would say after my response, analysis the other day on the Tony Barnhart Show and Inside College Football, the response I received was about 99% positive. Of course, you had a few out there who likened me to Benedict Arnold, but it's been pretty positive. Everyone's upset, and like I said earlier, there are some who are content if we knock off Baylor, which they've beaten us the last two, never beaten us three times in a row ever in the history of the matchup. And so there'll be some who'll be content with beating Baylor and beating Iowa State and beating Kansas and all that. I'm just not one of those, and the majority of the Longhorn Nation isn't either. They grew up watching this team, this program win championships, conference championships. That's what it's about, putting those skins on the wall, and just don't see it these days. And if you're the head coach of Texas, you can't get your team ready to take on OU. That's it. That's all we want you to do is get them ready to take on OU, and you can't accomplish that. So there's something seriously amiss.
We are talking Texas football with Brian Jones, CBS Sports Network, their college football analyst, former a very proud Texas Longhorn. And I have to share with you, Brian, you know, I was in San Antonio last week and I had the opportunity to do an exclusive sit-down interview with an extraordinary Texan and very big supporter of UT athletics, and that, of course, is the great Red McCombs. And he has a very close relationship with Mac Brown. In fact, he was very instrumental in getting Mac Brown hired, and he's a big believer in him as far as, you know, the consistency, the stability that he has brought to the program. And of course, you know, Red likes to remind me of that in Southern Cal, that big win in 2005 in the national championship with the Rose Bowl. So, I mean, do you feel like that he is still going to be receiving that support from so many of those folks that are providing the big dollars within the university, Brian?
Unfortunately, I think the big cigars will still support him, still prop him up. They see the consistency. That's why I say if you're fine with 10 wins, 9 wins, if you're fine with that, you're going to be content with keeping Mac Brown. And it seems like the big wigs are. If you want to win conference championship, if you want to defeat your arch rival and not be embarrassed by them, you're not going to be content. And so I'm in the latter category. But I understand, yeah, we thank Mac Brown. He did resurrect the program. He did bring a national title. I think it's in spite of his coaching. He had some hell of athletes out there. But go ahead and, you know, my suggestion, go ahead and build his statue now and let him be an ambassador for the program and bring us someone else.
Hey, Brian, we're going to close out the interview this weekend. Brian Jones with CBS Sports has been with us. And just, you know, point to one particular game that you've got your eye on that you're really excited about.
South Carolina, let's see how they rebound.
Okay.
Going into the swamp to take on Florida and West Virginia. How do they rebound? Do they have the leadership in place to overcome what occurred in L.A., Lubbock area, a week ago? So they got a tough one versus K-State. As you know, K-State's a physical football team. So those are two that I'm really watching.
Well, what a big surprise with Bill Snyder. I mean, my goodness, forget retirement. And he's just like a fine wine and gets better with age.
Well, he owns Texas, so they got to go up there at the end of the season, and you know they'll be ready.
Absolutely. Brian, thanks so much for dropping by, and I'll catch up with you again real soon, okay?
All right. Give my homeboys from Hooterville, that's Longview, Mikey Clements and Harold Johnson, a big shout-out.
Absolutely. They're great supporters of our program. Take care, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Big E.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead with Jason Peter in just a moment.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
The college football conversation continues this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, it is powered by Mercer Well Services, and that means it is time for our Under the Helmet segment with three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, Jason Peter. And oh, I just tell you what, we got to talk about and recap OU Texas, because what a difference a week makes. How about what a difference 2 weeks make? Jason P., did you think Oklahoma was going to dominate the way that it did?
Twisting the knife in, right? I mean, last week I took Texas, and did they let me down big time. Oklahoma just, they exploited that defense of Texas so badly. Those two defensive ends who really are some of the elite guys in college football, with that Okafor and Jeffcoat, they were pretty much non-factors, and Oklahoma ran the ball at will. I mean, I think they rushed the ball for almost 350 yards on Texas defense, and that's not something new, I guess, to this Texas defense this year. They've been pretty poor against defending the run, and let's face it, I mean, when you have a team built like Oklahoma, where I think when people look at Oklahoma, they say, here they have Landry Jones, who, you know, is on the verge of breaking a lot of records at Oklahoma, and you know, I think people look at them and say they want to move the ball through the air, but now if you add that element of where they have dominance at the running part of an offense, man, now this will just, it makes it impossible to stop Oklahoma. I mean, anytime you have an offense that's two-dimensional, but I guess when you look at a team and say, well, if you had to pick whether Oklahoma is a better throwing team or a better running team, I think people would probably say, like I said before, they would much rather move the ball through the air so now you have the element of their offense that people maybe don't really think they're as good at. Now that part is more dominant in this Texas game, so you can only imagine what that opens up for their passing game. And an offense that's two-dimensional is impossible to stop. As a defense, if you can't shut down the run, you're not going to have an answer. And it just keeps the defense on their heels the entire game. They don't know what's coming, and there's nothing worse than getting the ball just kind of pounded down your throat, and that's what Oklahoma did to Texas on Saturday.
They really did. As you had just said, Jason, you know, they ran the ball more than 300 yards against Texas, but I want to talk about defensively, because it looks like they're making significant strides. They're improving week to week. I mean, they've been very good for three consecutive games, even in that loss against, what, K-State?
Yeah, and I think when you look at, I think, everything that's gone on at Oklahoma with Venables leaving and Stoops coming in, that it would just take a matter of time before he had them going the way that he wanted them to go. I mean, I think some people, we just expect, because, you know, there's always a case here or there. I mean, here you have Urban Meyer in his first year, now Ohio State's undefeated, and I mean, they put a whipping on Nebraska, but I think people, especially nowadays, they want everything right now, and I think with Oklahoma, you know, it's not realistic to have that, whether you're talking about a defense or you're talking about an offense or the entire team. It's not realistic that from day one things are going to be at such a high level. And now with Bob's brother coming in, and I think his credentials certainly speak for itself when you're talking about defensive football. It was just a matter of time before he got them to play and understand and execute his defense the way that he wants to see it out there on Saturday afternoons.
Well, the game that I certainly have my eye on is not this weekend. You know, they're going to take on Kansas, but Notre Dame, I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Of course, that will be in Norman. What are your thoughts about that as we look ahead, Jason?
I cross my fingers that Oklahoma comes to play that day. I think Oklahoma will beat them. I have a hard time buying into Notre Dame this year. I know that Brian Kelly's done it. He's done a good job. No question about that. I don't watch Notre Dame and say that's top five team. I like their defense. I think they have some good players on that defensive side of the game, defensive side of the ball. But I don't think they have the offense to match. And when you're talking about teams that are in the top five, you're usually talking about teams that can do it on both sides of the ball. Now, if you have a team that's not as strong, say on the offensive side, they have to be such a dominant defense to maintain that level of play. And I just don't see that with Notre Dame. I don't see that just pure dominance out there on that defensive side. But I think they're a good football team. I think they're probably a top 15 football team. But I think Oklahoma, when they're clicking on all cylinders and they've got the offense going and the defense going, I mean, they're a top five team.
We've only got about two more minutes with Jason Peter this weekend on our Under the Helmet segment. We want to direct you to his website, jasonpeter.com. He's got some great stuff on there. And Jason, I know that you guys are hopefully recovered after that devastating loss to the Buckeyes. I mean, there's not a whole lot of room for error. You guys want to get back on track. And this week you will be at Northwestern. Tell us about this particular matchup.
Yeah, well, it's really a sign of things when people are saying how well Northwestern matches up against Nebraska, and it's certainly a compliment to Northwestern. We have slid down the college football totem pole so far. I mean, it's shocking to me. And here Northwestern came into Lincoln last year and beat us. And
that's right.
Now Nebraska, they've got a rebound. In the past, Bo's teams have done a good job of rebounding from bad losses, and especially coming out of the bye week, he's done a good job. But here you have another team that's going to spread Nebraska out. You've got a mobile quarterback in that Kane Coulter, and there's the potential there, I think, for another tough game for Nebraska, and whether or not they lose it, you know, that remains to be seen. I mean, these are games that Nebraska fans used to look at and say, Northwestern? Oh, this is a, chalk that baby up. I mean, that's a W. Not anymore. I mean, the times have changed so much around here that there's not any game, I think, that Nebraska can go out and you can just automatically chalk up a win. So they're going to have their hands full on Saturday.
Well, Nebraska, they do begin a key three-game stretch against many of the folks in the Big Ten Conference, and so we're going to have to see how it all shakes out, because don't look ahead, but they got Michigan they're going to be facing, and then they will be on the road at Michigan State. And Jason, we'll certainly look forward to your analysis next week as we break down those additional games. So, Jay, thanks so much for dropping by, and have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.